is your ship and you are the captain. Oh, captain, let's make a deal where we both say the things that we both really feel. I feel scared and I'm starting to sink, and I only sink deeper the deeper I think. Oh, captain, oh, captain, deal. Oh, captain, deal. Oh, captain, deal. Oh, wow. There are red spots under your eyes.
Chapter 44, Gold Beyond Measure. My king, we need that man alive, Shang Chenghua shouts. Mo Beijun pauses. Several ice arrows drop out of the air and break across the floor with loud, scrambling cracks. And Dr. Xu turns the corner at the end of the hallway, undeservedly unskewered by them. Mo Beijun then nods, releases Shang Chenghua against the nearest wall, and rushes forward like a shadow over ground again, sending a gust of cold air over Shang Chenghua's face. Oh, wow. Demonic beasts wish they could pounce like that. Mo Beijun's shadow disappears around the corner, leaving them alone in the hallway with the body of the Huanhua sect cultivator who dared to lunge for the golden disc on the stone wall. Who would that alarm even call? Shang Chenghua wonders. There's no way that the palace master would want all of Huanhua Palace stomping down into his forbidden dungeons to see what's going on down here. Xun Yuan steps out of the room he was in, instead of just poking his head out. His expression is pained, but he quickly looks away from the body. Meanwhile, Bingha's expression is still alarmed. He's upset enough that his demon mark seems to flicker briefly, his grip on his sword uselessly ready. They don't need to look. Shang Chenghua clears his throat to draw their attention. Ah, shit, he thinks, as soon as he gets it. I don't know what to say. Uncle, who was that? Bingha demands. I think that was a doctor I met at the House of Rejuvenation, Shang Chenghua answers. Dr. Xu. He was just a visitor. Not an in-house doctor. But he put some of those demons, the followers of what's-her-name, Elder Lady Xia, back together when no one was looking. They could reform after being cut into pieces. Both Shang Chenghua's nephew and his fellow transmigrator frown with concentration. Bingha must be trying to think back to one of the worst experiences of his childhood, but it can't be easy to recall the details when his mother was putting herself firmly between him and any gory sight, hiding him behind her skirts or covering his eyes with her hand. Cucumber Bro, on the other hand, is probably trying to remember any relevant facts from Proud Immortal Demon Way. Good luck to him with that. There's no guarantee that relevant to those plot lines means useful. The other transmigrator probably realizes this quickly, scowlingly lifting the hand holding the weeper's eye a little higher, searching for Shang Chenghua doesn't know, but he hopes that his little bro hasn't caught the scent of some other new and scary revelation. Boom! Shang Chenghua can feel the explosion through the stone walls as clearly as he hears it. The initial rocky crash is followed by the crumble and clatter of settling debris, the click and clack sounding for a few seconds like rainfall after thunder. Shang Chenghua can see demonic energy fading across the floor like dust. It's as though claws have wrapped around Shang Chenghua's heart and squeezed. My king, he shouts. Behind him, Xun Yuan has doubled over, hissing, his free hand clutching at his temple. Bingha aborts his step forward in favor of lunging for Xun Yuan before he can fall to the floor. Bingha helps his fellow disciple down more gently. Shang Chenghua can't leave them, but he wants nothing more than to jump on his sword and fly down this damn hallway with reckless disregard for everything. When a familiar figure, tall and dark, appears at the end of the hallway, only then can Shang Chenghua breathe again. Oh, Mo Beijun is fine. Everything is fine. All is right with the world again. Breathing is allowed and encouraged again. Mobei Jun raises the space-tearing spear, and a portal opens in front of them. Shang Chenghua tells the kids to follow and hops through immediately, falling into Mobei Jun's waiting arms. He looks over his shoulder and sees that his amazing and wonderful nephew threw Shen Yuan's arm over his shoulder and obediently followed, which means he can focus on this stressful asshole again. My king, what the... Oh, holy shit! Around the corner, a little ways down this second hallway is, what used to be a formidable gate. Look at those thick stone chunks. Look at those careful and powerful engravings. This enormous gate, which is the sort that looks like it was built for giants by giants, has apparently just had its doors blown in and also to pieces. Some of them are still sizzling with demonic energy as whatever spell was carved into this gate fizzles out.
He escaped through this door,
Mobei Jun says, some annoyance left over from the frustration he released on the gate blocking his way.
There is more than one path beyond it that he could have taken.
Ah, Shang Chenghua says, and looks towards their guide. Shen Yuan winces as he forces himself to stand up straight again. What's wrong? Shang Chenghua asks.
Nothing's wrong,
Shen Yuan insists, but his voice is nearly a mutter, and as soon as his arm is off Bingha's shoulders, he rubs his temple again.
I've just never used the eye for so long before. I'm fine. I can do this. I just need to focus.
Right, Shang Chenghua says. It's the spiritual sensing equivalent of eye strain or something. They ran into this a few times while hanging out in Shang Chenghua's leisure house, but toying with the creepy artifact usually didn't last too long before Shang Chenghua called it quits and exiled it back to the creepy basement. Is the activated version even worse? The air here feels heavy. There's that sharp chemical smell of whatever they use to clean down here. And there's a lot of wrong-feeling bodies down here, too. All of that probably doesn't help one fucking bit.
Bingha looks at Shang Chenghua like he's expecting his uncle to do something. But Shen Yuan takes another deep breath and stands even taller. You'd never know to look at the guy that he's probably in a lot of pain. And, come to think of it, has probably been in increasing pain for a long while now. Shang Chenghua should probably tell his secretive and stubborn fellow transmigrator off for this bullshit. He'll say, Anding Peak disciples are supposed to be complainers in the face of the slightest pain, bro. You're disrespecting your peak here with this stoic crap. You're disrespecting your senior martial siblings. You're disrespecting me. But speaking of people in pain, Shang Chenghua's fucked up leg has been throbbing in a bad way for a while now. He took so many painkillers, but clearly he did not take enough painkillers. And his good leg is aching with effort, even though Mobei Jun's been doing most of the walking work. He wants nothing more than to collapse against the nearest flat surface he's pretty sure has never been touched by a dead body. So, like, anywhere outside of Huanhua Palace. They need to find that shitty doctor. Quickly. If Cucumber Bro is willing to tough it out here, Shang Chenghua isn't going to tell him no. Besides, if he does try and tell his fellow transmigrator no here, he'd probably just get snapped at. Possibly with teeth.
I found him,
Shen Yuan says, triumphant, gaze still distant. Ah, then lead the way, Shang Chenghua says. Bingha, help him navigate and make sure he doesn't fall over or run into anything, will you?
Bingha looks willing, but asks, How should I
hold hands? Keep a hand on his shoulder or something at least.
Shang Chenghua glares towards his disciple to ensure cooperation here. He has an obligation as a transmigration mentor not to let his fellow transmigrator wobble into a booby trap, and if that means Cucumber Bro has to put up with holding hands with the protagonist for part of the mission, then so be it. He can be grateful that Shang Chenghua isn't suggesting that he be carried too. Xin Yuan isn't even looking at him. His fellow transmigrator reaches back, grabs Bingha's free hand as it reaches for his shoulder, and pulls him forward through the broken gate at a run. Mo Beijun and Shang Qinghua follow. The hallways here are lit up, even though the hall past the gate breaks almost immediately in three different directions. Xin Yuan doesn't hesitate in picking the left tunnel. The walls and floors here are finished, but the ceilings alternate between finished and unfinished rock, a long and winding path. It kind of looks like Dr. Xu decided to take the long way around. Or maybe a shortcut. Who knows? Shang Qinghua is once again very glad that Mo Beijun, especially with the space-tearing spear, reassuringly gives them both a potential swift exit and a potential undo button. Ah, how this transmigrator misses undo buttons. They're a distant memory now, a concept he hasn't been able to use for years, but Shang Qinghua still occasionally misses them with killing ferocity when he fucks something up in ink. Xin Yuan takes them right at a fork, then right again, then straight ahead, then left again, down a narrow tunnel with unfinished walls and a few lanterns, through another door, but this one isn't so formidable. Mo Beijun hefts the space-tearing spear and cuts a portal through it with ease. It looks like they're lost and getting even more lost, but Xin Yuan seems to know exactly where he's going. He occasionally looks back, pale but with grim determination, and then forges onward with the Weeper's Eye shining like a star in his hand. It's so weird that Shang Qinghua is really glad for that thing now. The narrow tunnel widens abruptly into another hallway of doors, still missing that polished detail on the walls and ceilings, and without many lanterns. Shang Qinghua spots a person standing in the middle of the hallway, which is weird. They're standing in front of a haphazardly open door, facing away, and they're not wearing Quanhua Palace sect robes. Looking past them, Shang Qinghua can see a few more figures down the dark stretch, and many more open doors. Xin Yuan stops abruptly, with a loud and ragged gasp. He stops so suddenly that Bingha has to step around him before he can properly stop himself. And Xin Yuan immediately tries to yank Bingha backwards using their joined hands. The person standing in front of them turns, and they're definitely wrong. Shang Qinghua doesn't have a single good word for it either. He's pretty sure they're dead. This person looks like a resentful corpse with the signature tangled hair and slightly grayed skin, advanced to the point of dark splotches and, oh shit, black claws and milky eyes. But the main difference between this thing and naturally occurring walking dead, Shang Qinghua still gets a shiver just thinking that. What a world this is. Is that resentful corpses don't usually have vein-like golden lines peeking through their skin. Scratches? Sure. Rotting wounds? Sometimes. Golden flickering lines? Nope. The corpse lunges for Bingha, who has been unbalanced by Xin Yuan, pulling him back. But Shang Qinghua's clever nephew still manages to raise the Zheng Yang sword and release a panicked burst of demonic and spiritual energy. Even a startled heavenly demon is still a heavenly demon. The burning red, black, and golden blast shreds the lunging corpse into smoking halves. Bingha's attack lights up this dark, wide hallway like a firework, revealing even more open doors and shambling figures than Shang Qinghua originally guessed. By the time the smoking halves of the first corpse both hit the floor with wet thumps, nearly every other corpse in the room has turned their head to look at them. A few more have lurched out of the open doors. Some of them have golden lines, some brighter than others. And Shang Qinghua realizes what this difference means. Exactly when one of the gold-marked corpses raises their arms and their hands begin to glow with an unstable fire spell. The fireball roars to life, setting the corpse's own glowing arms on fire, and releases, lighting up the wide hallway again. Xin Yuan has managed to pull Bing He farther back now, but they're still directly in the path of this wildfire. The young protagonist raises his sword again. Fortunately, Mo Beijun has already set Shang Chenghua down and lunged forward in front of the disciples, swiping with the space-tearing spear to open a black gash in front of them all. The portal effortlessly swallows the massive fireball and closes again, leaving behind only a gentle gust of cold air.
Dragged out of the restful darkness and into a darkness man-made,
the Weeper's Eye comments.
Resentment has long since burned away the memories of what it meant to be alive.
Apparently, that means these reanimated and resentful figures don't know when they're outmatched. Instead of fleeing from an OP demon lord, the resentful dead run towards them, or shamble as quickly as they're able. The one that just set its own arms on fire raises them again to cast another reckless spell. Behind this figure, two others struggle to raise gold-marked arms and cast their own attacks. Shang Chenghua sees the spark of lightning over blackened fingers. Mo Beijun uses the space-tearing spear to cut a bleeding, black, and crackling blue circle in the air in front of him. The portal that yawns open is enormous, and there's nothing neat about it. The unruly demonic energy of this portal whips up at the stone ceiling and lashes deep cuts into the floor and, with a violent ripple, blasts out freezing cold winds and ice. Shang Chenghua is very, very, very glad to be on this side of the portal. But just being in the same room as this kind of energy is incredibly uncomfortable, even if the masterful Mo Beijun is managing to direct it forward very well. Mo Beijun spins the space-tearing spear again and strikes the back of the enormous portal with the butt of the weapon. A bright flash and a loud boom go up on connection. Then the rippling portal starts to move forward. Shang Chenghua didn't know the portals could move. Holy shit! At first, it's a slithering crawl, the tendrils of curling black and crackling blue energy dragging over the floor. And then the portal picks up speed. Shang Chenghua doesn't know how to describe what kind of sound it makes. It's like a concentrated storm with continuous thunder. The portal roars down the hallway of the Walking Dead, an unstoppable force. Mo Beijun hulls the space-tearing spear backwards, still with its tip pointed away from the spell, like the portal is attached to the shaft by rope. There seems to be physical effort to this pull. The movement begins to close the roaring portal. When it appears that Mo Beijun pulls the spear free, the portal reluctantly snaps closed completely, with one last pop of blue and black demonic energy, just before it can collide with the wall at the end of the hallway. The portal has left behind broken lanterns, torn up floor tiles, and corpses, either in broken, icy chunks, or frozen over to look like agonized sculptures. It's, terrifying. Horrifying! Way too OP! Mo Beijun straightens again and spins the spear back to the side, tip pointed down. The hallway is close to pitch black now, save for some lingering crackles of demonic energy and golden lines. So the protagonist's cooler-than-cool right-hand man resembles nothing more right now than a living shadow. And Shang Chenghua wants nothing more than to ruin the badass moment by whooping in awe. Holy shit, he gasps aloud, because he really can't keep that in. Mo Beijun turns to look back at him and smirks. Because all the lanterns in this hallway have been smashed or snuffed, it's unmissable when a light comes on at the other end. There's clearly a sliding panel in the door at the other end of the hall.
Bright light shines in. A figure's head cautiously comes into shadowy view, their identity shrouded by the light behind them, but hardly a mystery here. Probably upon realizing that the resentful corpses are the ones that have been completely wasted, the panel in the door slams quickly shut again. "Oh, that asshole!" Zhang Qinghua cries. Shen Yuan completes the light spell that he was casting, the sudden glow revealing that a couple new resentful corpses have wandered in out of open doors in the middle of the hallway. These ones apparently missed out on Mo Beijun's OP portal. Mo Beijun summons an ice arrow, a massive one, at least the size of his arm, and then touches the tip of the space-tearing spear to it. The ice turns black, bleeding demonic energy, and Mo Beijun spins the spear again so that the butt of the space-tearing spear strikes the ice arrow and sends it flying forward. The warped ice arrow bolts past the new resentful corpses, past the ice sculptures that have been made of the others, and hits the door at the other end of the hallway dead on. The door explodes with black and blue demonic energy. When the explosion clears, the door has partly twisted and partly vanished, cracked open, and light spills back into their darkness again. Mo Beijun has already summoned more ice arrows, smaller ones, and sent them into the chests of the two new resentful corpses. One of the corpses falls over and stays down. The second corpse stumbles, but it's one of the gold-marked ones, so it catches itself and then runs forward with the ice arrow still in its chest. Mo Beijun lashes out with a burst of demonic energy that turns the corpse's entire top half into ice. The corpse falls over and its arm breaks off. The legs are still moving, which is horrifying, but Mo Beijun has turned away and opened a portal beside them. He looks towards Zhang Qinghua's nephew and says,
"Luo Binghe, go."
At the other end of the hallway, Zhang Qinghua can see the other side of this portal yawning open where the door used to be, and yet another corpse stumbling out of one of the open doors. He nods towards his nephew, who is ready and raring to go, but still looking towards him for approval. Dr. Xu can't have gotten far. Binghe jumps through the portal, his sword ready in his hand.
"Look where you step! Stop if you get to a fork!"
Zhang Qinghua cries. Mo Beijun sweeps Zhang Qinghua up and follows Binghe through the portal, and Shen Yuan follows behind them. Binghe has already run ahead through the bright tunnel when they exit, but the rest of them look back on the room of frozen-over corpses, with that last figure standing in the middle of the dark, wrecked hallway. They look, Zhang Qinghua would say, hauntingly lost. "That's the last one," Shen Yuan tells them. Mo Beijun steps away from them, back into the hallway, and summons power to the space-tearing spear as he walks. He winds up and releases a formidable blast of demonic energy that shatters all the upright frozen corpses into chunks like the others, and shreds the final corpse in half. It's not as bloody as it could be, given the ice, but Zhang Qinghua winces to think about the smell in here later. His eyes pass over the corpse of a woman, and something about the face brings him back. Looking past the pale skin and grayed splotches, there's something vaguely familiar about that face, but Zhang Qinghua can't quite put his finger on it. Can't keep his stomach under control if he keeps looking.
Character profile updated. Hu Ziyi.
"Ah," Zhang Qinghua says. At least he can be sure that this person from the House of Rejuvenation mess is taken care of now. Holy shit. He doesn't know if he's really thought about the loathsome Madame Hu at all in years. What a fucked up fate. Mo Beijun returns. Zhang Qinghua hops into his arms, and then they're off down the tunnel after Binghe, with Shen Yuan and the Weeper's Eye in the lead. Shen Yuan is still looking a little pale,
but as determined as ever. Maybe even more determined than before. The goal of catching up with the young protagonist chasing after this scum villain pushes them all forward through this underground labyrinth. They move quickly, without any more obstacles in their way. Shen Yuan takes them out of finished stone tunnels, back into another smooth and well-lit hallway of doors that at least look more like storage than cells. There's still no sign of Bingha. Shen Yuan concentrates, then takes them right. Running along, Shang Qinghua catches sight of yet another golden disc set into a stone frame, except... My king, wait a moment! Mo Beijun stops abruptly and turns as Shang Qinghua leans hard to get a better view of the alarm. Unlike all the other alarms they've passed since delving into these forbidden dungeons, in the center of the gold disc is a fresh, bloody smear. The smear is roughly in the shape of a partial handprint, fingers dragging along before moving forward. Fuck, Shang Qinghua says. Come on, Shen Yuan says impatiently. Something is... This time, the sudden explosion that rumbles down and through the hallways isn't as close. But Shang Qinghua feels those damn claws squeezing around his heart again, no matter the distance. Bingha is fine, Shen Yuan says hastily. I think. He turns and runs without another word, leading them down the twists and turns until they finally arrive at another massive gate of a door. It looks like it was built for giants by giants. And it also looks like it was just destroyed by an angry teenaged heavenly demon. Bingha didn't blow in quite as enormous a hole as Mo Beijun did, but there's a huge crack in the middle, large enough for a person to slip through, and the flickering protection seemed to have shattered. Past the door is one more turn, and then they're in a large, high-ceilinged, brightly lit room. It's more of a great hall than a room, with beautiful floors and gleaming, reaching columns. In the center of this high-quality room is a high platform, intricately carved and fitted with glowing talismans, and Luo Bingha is standing in front of it, apparently transfixed. Dr. Xu is crumpled over at Bingha's feet, moaning, his arms raised to protect his head from another blow that isn't coming. Shang Qinghua can see the smear of blood on one sleeve. Bingha looks over his shoulder at them, then looks back towards the platform. He steps over Dr. Xu like the man means nothing to him. And as soon as Mo Beijun steps forward and Shang Qinghua gets a real look at the platform, he understands why. Dr. Xu? Yeah, who gives a shit about that scum villain anymore? On the platform is a body. Just one. This very important person is lying on top of a cushioned pallet, and the cloth covering them up to the shoulders is clearly high quality compared to the sheets thrown over the others. This person is a woman. She has the appearance of a 30-year-old, perhaps, though she may be older, because it's hard to know with cultivators. She has dark brown hair that's nearly black and a handsome profile. It's a familiar profile, too. Shang Qinghua pulls Mo Beijun even closer as Bingha stops beside the platform and just stands there, trembling. Shang Qinghua doesn't even have to look at his nephew to see the similarities. They share everything from the shape of the nose to the line of the jaw, from the set of the lips to the overall shape of the face. It's overwhelming, even if it's not completely identical. Even the curl and wave to the hair is too familiar. It's clear which parent Bingha really favors. Su Xian is here after all, Shang Qinghua murmurs. She's pale in death. A person could tell themselves that she's only asleep, only resting, but they would be missing the unhealthy gauntness to her handsome face, plus the preservation talismans and the many neat, pale scars running subtly around her edges. There's no doubt that these neat scars run underneath the cloth covering her body all over.
running alongside the scars, also disappearing under the cloth, are tiny characters in careful golden paint. Xiang Qinghua recognizes the neat script in a, I know I've seen that before, kind of way, but he is not close enough to begin to decipher them. Even if he was close, he'd probably have to squint. Bingha's breath hitches. He reaches out, moving the cloth aside just enough to bare a wrist, also scarred and carefully painted. Bingha wraps his fingers around Su Xian's wrist, and Xiang Qinghua doesn't have the heart to stop him. The seconds stretch on into a minute. Bingha's breath hitches again. Behind them, Xun Yuan has removed some immortal binding cables from a Tian Qun pouch, but he has the awkward look of someone who has never actually tied anyone up before. Xun Yuan looks between Xiang Qinghua and Bingha in uncertain silence. Xiang Qinghua makes Mo Beijun put him down and waves towards the doctor, and Mo Beijun goes to help the other transmigrator. Another minute passes. Time is precious, but this is a moment that condemns interruption. Xiang Qinghua carefully comes up beside his nephew. Bingha puts down Su Xian's wrist with agonizing gentleness. "She's dead," he says softly. His eyes are full of tears. He reaches out blindly for Xiang Qinghua, apparently unable to tear his eyes away from this face that looks so much like his face. Xiang Qinghua takes his nephew's hand and squeezes. Bingha trails off, then confesses. "I hoped we would find her here. I was also hoping that maybe. I know. I knew it was unlikely," Bingha says quickly. "That doesn't... I knew it was more like impossible. Still. But if Tian Longjun was sealed under terrible conditions and survived, and somehow came out even stronger for it, then why couldn't Su Xian be alive, but imprisoned here too?" Bingha says hoarsely. There was a chance. "I know," Xiang Qinghua says again, and the words couldn't be any more useless. "But she's not," Bingha finishes, voice breaking. He looks down at his birth mother's body, with helplessness that could break an uncle's heart. His grip on Xiang Qinghua's hand is uncomfortably tight, hot and unpleasant. But Xiang Qinghua's doesn't let go. It's only a little discomfort. Bingha turns away and buries his face in Xiang Qinghua's shoulder for a moment. But then he turns his head, unable to tear his gaze away for long. "She really does look like you," Xiang Qinghua says. Bingha huffs wetly. "I look like her."
That's true, too." "Oh, fuck. This really is his son's mother."
Xiang Qinghua ignores the tragedy of Su Xian most of the time, but right now he can't ignore it. This woman drank poison and made sure it never touched her baby because Airplane said she would, and set him adrift in a river, just like Airplane said she did. Desperate to give him any chance to live. This is his son's mother. She's a real person. Or, she was. Liveliness and charm can seem so distant when looking at the dead. They're so still, so solemn, so silent. But Su Xian really looks so much like Bingha. So it's hard not for Xiang Qinghua to envision how this face looked when it smiled.
"More than once, she hesitated in making her choice,"
the weeper's eye says. Xiang Qinghua turns to look at his fellow transmigrator, who looks like he'd give anything right now to know how to put this creepy artifact back on silent mode. Bingha also turns to look, his expression carefully solemn,
even as his weepy eyes keep betraying him and a tear streaks down his cheek.
Yet she chose it, over and over again.
Xiang Qinghua squeezes his nephew's hand again. If the weeper's eye says something really terrible to his nephew here, he'll smash it. He really will. He's been prepared to do that for years. So all it needs is to give him an excuse.
Who, but for one moment, is not allowed to want everything, to regret, to curse? Who can be condemned for, but for one moment, being afraid of the consequences of the right choice?
That just makes Xiang Qinghua feel worse. It's hard to tell how it makes Bingha feel when the young protagonist is already crying. His heart doesn't seem to have been torn in two to know that Su Xian considered her options. She chose him in the end, right? Over and over, she chose to save the life of her son. That's what matters. Xiang Qinghua's nephew takes some deep breaths that make his grip a little less fiery, then looks around the fancy room they've found themselves in. There's more here than just the platform with Su Xian's body. Against the walls, there are shelves of neatly labeled jars and boxes of bones and claws and dried plants. There are tables for medical work, covered in the tools of the trade, and careful rows of anatomical charts. Muscles, bones, organs, nerves, and more, which are covered in notations in different colors of ink. More shelves and drawers of scrolls are tucked inside. There are three more exits in here, not counting the hallway they came in through. One short hallway appears to end in stairs. One door is closed. The other door is wide open, revealing a dim room full of assorted spiritual artifacts and devices. Statues, crockery, monstrous trophies, and many, many crystals. One of them is at least twice the size of a person. And there's a bunch of tiny ones that seem to have been set into the branches of a miniature golden tree, all crowded together and mismatched in the way of a secret collection. On the one hand, Xiang Qinghua can comfort himself with the knowledge that he is not the only one to have a creepy basement. In fact, his creepy basement doesn't even fucking come close to this one. On the other hand, Xiang Qinghua has never wanted to have anything in common with the palace master of Huanhua Palace sect. This does not feel good.
"We're taking her, right?" Bingha asks.
Uncle, we're not leaving her here. Of course not. No, we are not leaving your birth mother's body down here, Xiang Qinghua says hastily. We should go, and soon. I was just looking at all the stuff down here that's probably proof of Huanhua Palace sect's wrongdoing and wondering what to do about it. There's a lot of it.
Duan Tianyu asked them to find the rot and take it out.
But there's a lot of that down here. Xiang Qinghua feels that it would be super awkward to go back to his not disciple and say, "Bro, do you have a service elevator? Also, I found the shit, but I really, really don't want to touch anything. I am already going to wash my hands for at least an hour later."
Xiang Qinghua looks towards Dr. Xu, safely secured, glaring between all of them, but apparently too scared shitless of Mo Bei Jun to try talking yet.
That guy is a lot of proof on his own, Xiang Qinghua considers.
Bingho looks like he really wants to kill this scum villain, right here and right now. But Xiang Qinghua knows the young protagonist can behave himself. They don't have the time to leisurely decide what to do with him. The silence down here is easily breakable, and Xiang Qinghua knows to listen for the break when Bingha and Mo Bei Jun both raise their heads and look in the same direction. There are faint footsteps coming down the stairs. Xin Yuan only has the time to tell them that there's three of them before three cultivators in Huanhua Palace sect robes appear around the corner. Bingha goes for Su Xian's body at once, unwilling to leave her.
Shang Ching-Hua reaches to take his nephew's hand again, but misses. Luckily, he's caught and steadied by Mo Beijun, who readies the space-tearing spear. Unluckily, Shang Ching-Hua actually recognizes the man in front. The man in front clearly recognizes Shang Ching-Hua too. Wu Yifei, cultivator overcompensating belt buckle himself, runs even faster than before. Before he even sets foot in this fancy room, he's raising a formidable-looking weapon on them. Some kind of dart-launching device, already armed with a dart that looks like really bad news. Mo Beijun stiffens at the sight of that gleaming dart in violet and gold. Whatever he was initially planning, clearly dissolving in an instant. That's how Shang Ching-Hua is sure that this weapon really is really, really bad news. He's pretty sure that Mo Beijun could just bat it out of the air, no problem. But that OP-looking dart just has to hit one of them in the chaos. Cultivator OBB stops just inside the room. He trains the dart launcher between the teenage heavenly demon and the Changchong Mountain Sect Peak Lord, and the ice demon, and the Anding Peak disciple, who the man clearly recognizes on sight. Choices, choices, choices. Cultivator OBB here can only shoot one of them before someone else takes him down, but who will he pick? Though Cultivator OBB can only shoot one of them, there's no one here Shang Ching-Hua is willing to lose. Mo Beijun can handle this. He's sure. But, this standoff situation calls for a little caution. The two cultivators behind Cultivator OBB are only armed with swords. They look pretty unhappy about the intruders. Or maybe unhappy about finding out that the intruders are way out of their power level, and if this fight goes the wrong way, they will for sure become cannon fodder. It's hard to tell. Their faces are too scowly to make out the nuances as they fall into place behind their even scowlier leader with their swords raised. Shang Ching-Hua has just realized that one of these Huanhua Palace Sect cultivators might have been the person who stabbed him at the Immortal Alliance conference. Should he ask about that? Well, since they're going on his shit list anyway, there doesn't seem to be a point to quibbling over details. At first, no one speaks. Oh, it's you again, Shang Ching-Hua says finally. What's your name again? Cultivator OBB's eye twitches at that. It's the little victories.
So you are in league with demons, Cultivator OBB says.
Shang Ching-Hua laughs with all the stress of someone who has just spent too much time down here in these forbidden dungeons. Ha! I don't think you have any room to comment about bad company. Or does that palace master not trust you enough to see all the other corpses? The ones that aren't so nice? Cultivator OBB's expression narrows a little. I notice that you aren't surprised at all to see a dead body down here, Shang Ching-Hua says. Not even a little bit of shock to see your late head disciple herself? Not even a pretend little bit of shock? One of the cultivators behind the man shifts, but his expression is still angry, not obviously uncomfortable.
How long has the palace master had Su Xian's body?
Bingha demands.
All of the Huanhua Palace Sect cultivators clearly don't like being addressed by a heavenly demon. Or maybe it's the fact that they're being so disrespectfully questioned by a teenager. Shang Ching-Hua doesn't trust any of these fuckers to have a functional sense of what's right and what's wrong in the world.
Blood unwillingly taken,
the Weeper's Eye announces to the room.
She knew that there was no escape unless she could hide herself with strength she did not have, or leave her body itself behind.
Shang Ching-Hua glances at Su Xian's body, then over the work tables covered in medical tools. Ah, Su Xian did spend quite some time in prison before she finally escaped, didn't she? Why wouldn't the palace master take a little blood or a little hair to track Su Xian down if she managed to break free? That explains how this dead woman's body got fished out of the Luochuan River. Cultivator OBB manages, impressively, to look even angrier as he registers what Xun Yuan is holding. Zhang Chenghua's fellow transmigrator quickly hides the weeper's eye inside his sleeve again, but it's a little too late for that.
That doesn't belong to you, the man says.
Oh, it doesn't? And it belongs to you? Zhang Chenghua answers, before looking around the room again to make a point. Ah, it looks to me like Huanhua Palace sect practices a finder's keeper's way of life. Though, maybe you bought some of this. Now doesn't seem like the time to be making a to the victor goes the spoils argument, I think. Holy shit, I hope Mobei Jun has a plan, he thinks. Cultivator OBB clearly decides that he hates talking to Zhang Chenghua too much to engage, simply demanding, release Dr. Xu at once. Zhang Chenghua glances at the scum villain, all tied up in immortal binding cables, flopped on the floor like a dead fish with no one holding him up. No one is actively stopping the man from wiggling over if he wants to do that. You know, if you turned around right now and ran as far away as your legs could carry you, I bet you could get away from this, Zhang Chenghua says. These people don't have to be cannon fodder. They can say no. They can quit. None of them even look tempted. Zhang Chenghua can't say he didn't try.
You're in the heart of the Huanhua Palace, Cultivator OBB says, very nastily, like he genuinely thinks they're so fucking stupid that they might have somehow missed that fact. You're surrounded.
Aha, Zhang Chenghua says. You want to bring all of Huanhua Palace down here? There's three of these guys and four of them. You want them to see what's down here? Zhang Chenghua presses. Because I don't think all the disciples and gardeners and every last lantern keeper knows the things that you know. I don't think you can really talk about this ascension of yours to the position of the palace master's dirty workman, can you? I don't think they'd be as proud as you are of the things you've done here. Zhang Chenghua knows that these cultivators must have been alerted by the alarm that Dr. Xu pressed on his run, but only three of them came. Only three! Where are we now? The south side? Zhang Chenghua asks, and Mobei Jun nods very slightly. Not too far from the palace master's personal residences. I don't like the guy very much, but I think he knows better than to have a system that calls down every prying eye in the palace if a resentful corpse shambles into the wrong wall. What outsider could get this deep without being seen before now? We're in the center of Huanhua Palace, after all. None of the cultivators say anything. It kind of seems to me that it's more likely a person might expect any intruder who sneaks down here to be a member of Huanhua Palace poking their nose into the wrong place. Or maybe that alarm really is just for when a resentful corpse manages to break down a door, Zhang Chenghua muses. You know, I think that alarm is to keep people in, not out. He looks this man dead in the eye. I don't think any reinforcements are coming, he says.
They are, Cultivator OBB refutes.
He's not a very good liar.
Of course, Zhang Chenghua gets disproven almost immediately because Xun Yuan coughs and says awkwardly,
there are more people coming, three of them.
The Huanhua Palace sect cultivators don't look very relieved to hear that there are reinforcements coming. Cultivator OBB doesn't move, however, and doesn't even dare to turn to face the hurried footsteps coming down the stairs. Probably because the man can tell that as soon as he's no longer pointing that weapon in their direction, as soon as the risk that it might hit one of them drops low enough,
As soon as he allows himself to be even the tiniest bit distracted, his life is forfeit, and Mo Beijun will have his head on a spear.
Who is it? Cultivator OBB barks at one of his fellows.
The people coming down the hallway aren't Huanhua Palace sect cultivators, but they're clearly warriors. There are two guards in light purple robes and armor, both women, both with swords on their hips. And the one in behind is carrying a third woman in her arms, who is dressed in very fancy darker purples, clearly not a warrior at all, and also totally unconscious.
Lady Dawn and her guards, the fellow cultivator identifies, surprised.
Master Wu, Master Wu, calls the guard in front, her voice urgent and afraid.
Lady Dawn has fallen gravely ill. We must see Dr. Xu at once.
Send them away at once, Cultivator OBB snaps.
No, we must see Dr. Xu.
Demons?
Go away, shouts one of the Huanhua Palace sect cultivators, waving their arm.
The guard in front draws her sword.
Master Wu, we will assist.
Mo Beijun tenses. Shangchenghua only feels this preparation because they're so close to each other.
But before the demon lord can make his move, Xin Yuan throws himself forward and grabs Mo Beijun's arm.
Shangchenghua and Mo Beijun both look incredulously at the other transmigrator. Xin Yuan says nothing, but his expression borders on pleading. The Huanhua Palace sect cultivators clearly don't want to turn down another sword, and clearly aren't willing to physically drive off Lady Dawn's guard. So neither of them can stop Lady Dawn's guard as she comes up beside Cultivator OBB, then knocks the dart launcher to the floor, then stabs the man in the neck. The other cultivators shout in surprise. Lady Dawn's guard kicks the cultivator she's facing in the stomach to give her enough time to pull her sword free of the man named Wu Yifei. For a second, it looks like she's going to get stabbed in the back by the other Huanhua Palace sect cultivator, but the other guard has already dropped the woman she was holding and launches herself at the second Huanhua Palace sect cultivator. Lady Dawn's second guard punches the cultivator in the head, then grabs them by their robes and slams them into the wall. The sound is ugly. And also, Shangchenghua recognizes that move. He recognizes that kind of brute force. Lady Dawn's first guard neatly dispatches the other Huanhua Palace sect cultivator, disarming them and stabbing them through the chest. While the second guard draws her own sword and stabs the dazed, and probably dead, cultivator she's bashed against the wall. With all three Huanhua Palace sect cultivators very dead, the two women look up at Shangchenghua, Mo Beijun, Xin Yuan, and Luo Bingha. These two women look different with that much makeup on.
Should ya?
Bingha says, strangled, looking at the first guard.
Fun Li,
Xin Yuan says, relieved, looking at the second. Fu Qiang, possibly Xin Qingqiu's favorite disciple, and Bingha's favorite senior martial sister, politely salutes Shangchenghua like they're meeting somewhere totally respectable and normal, instead of the forbidden dungeons of Huanhua Palace, where they've both broken in, separately. If there's an ice demon standing beside Shangchenghua right now, this well-mannered, even-tempered disciple apparently refuses to notice, or at least refuses to look surprised about it. Luo Fanli just raises a hand and wiggles her fingers.
Hey, Daga, she says. Hi, Bing Bing. Hi, Shun Shitty. Hi, Da Daga.
What are you doing here? Shangchenghua demands.
Shizen sent us to investigate Huanhua Palace sect, Fu Qiang says.
Ming Yan wanted to come too, but she looks too much like her brother, Funli says. Like that's important information here. Shangchenghua doesn't care if Liu Mingyan is upset about missing out on a secret mission. His little sister-in-law needs to elaborate on the Shun Qingqiu thing.
Oh, so Lady Dawn was a ruse, Shen Yuan says.
Fan Li looks over her shoulder at the body she dropped.
No, that's the real Lady Dawn, she says. We threatened her. Well, I threatened her to force a visit to Huanhua Palace. Fu Shijie here blackmailed her.
Is she dead? Binghe asks.
No, just drugged.
Shang Chenghua feels like this explanation is only confusing him more.
Lady Dawn thought that she would escape by turning us over to Huanhua Palace sect upon our arrival, Fu Qiang demurs. Unfortunately, she fell ill shortly before we arrived at the gates, when none of the usual treatments worked.
And we saw that shady bastard running off, Fan Li adds.
We simply had to seek out Dr. Xu at once, Fu Qiang finishes. After all, he is her personal physician.
Shang Chenghua is still confused, but the relief here is very powerful, and he's beginning to feel very impressed, too.
What did you blackmail her with?
Fu Qiang blinks at him.
Shizhen and I have been keeping an eye on the former patrons of the House of Rejuvenation.
She says, like, this is obvious.
Lady Dawn, though only a potential patron, has for some time now been one of the most concerning. But there hasn't been a correct time to pursue justice until now.
Shang Chenghua supposes that this is a hobby? It's a hobby for a former scum villain, he guesses. It's something for an improved Shen Qingqiu to do that isn't bullying the young protagonist or subjecting any other vulnerable disciples to his abrasive teaching methods. It's also humbling and terrifying. Very much so. Shen Qingqiu has been pursuing justice with the former patrons of the House of Rejuvenation beyond just telling Shang Chenghua never to do business with them ever again?
Ah, well, it doesn't really seem right now like Huanhua Palace sect was doing a great job with that.
Shishu, are you also investigating?
Uh-huh, yeah, it looks like we all had the same idea, Shang Chenghua says. What a place to meet like this.
I figured out that something was happening and told Shen Shibo that if something was happening, then I was going to be involved, whether he liked it or not,
Fan Li said. Now I'm really glad I insisted on coming because, Daga, you're here, you're alive. I knew that already. Jia Jia told me about the letters, but it's good to see and meet you here so unexpectedly. I would have helped with other things, though.
Fu Qiang nods.
We must focus on the mission for now, she reminds her mission partner. Like she's had to say this at least 10 times in the last 10 minutes. And has been doing this ever since the mission started to keep Fan Li on track. Please retrieve Lady Dawn. We may need a hostage again, and we will be taking her back to Changchong Mountain Sect to answer questions.
But later, Fu Qiang says sharply.
Shang Chenghua thinks she sounds a lot like her Shizhen.
Fan Li sighs, but goes to pick up the noblewoman she dropped like a sack of vegetables in order to kill a man. They'll catch up properly later. Shang Chenghua gives one last look towards the now dead Wu Yifei.
I was right, bro, he thinks, allowing himself just a little triumph. I have more friends than you.
Lady Dawn is an older woman with wrinkles around her eyes and mouth and a gray threaded through her black hair. Her features are fine enough, but Shang Chenghua can't form a full opinion on them yet without any information on her personality. Since Shen Qingqiu's disciple apparently drugged her to the point of drooling, he thinks it's safe enough to assume she's probably an asshole too. So many changes in this world. Why did scum villains leaving their own plot lines and teaming up have to be one of them?
Dr. Xu looks horrified by all of this.
"What have you done?"
he gasps, when Lady Dawn comes fully into view.
"Hey!" Shang Cheng Hua snaps. "You, of all fucking people, don't get to say that."
Bing He actually laughs, surprised, though he turns it into a cough. Fan Li and Fu Qiang are both visibly shocked to see the body of Su Xian on the platform here. They can all see the way the two women look between the body and Bing He, seeing the powerful resemblance between mother and son.
"Su Xian," Bing He confirms.
"Is she," Fan Li asks,
"dead?"
"Oh." Dr. Xu squirms to his knees, trying to get a better look at Lady Dawn. When he ends up meeting Shang Cheng Hua's eyes instead, he shrivels back again.
"I think it's time that you started talking," Shang Cheng Hua says.
Dr. Xu's lips press tighter together.
"Huanhua Palace doesn't deserve your loyalty," Bing He snaps. "What the fuck are you doing down here? What have you done to Su Xian? To all those other people?"
"What they could,"
the Weeper's Eye says. Out of the corner of his eye, Shang Cheng Hua sees Fu Qiang study the situation before she turns her sword over and holds it over Lady Dan and Fun Li's arms. Dr. Xu's eyes widen and his mouth drops open immediately.
"I've been studying immortality all my life," Dr. Xu blurts.
"His loyalty is to a different type of blade,"
the Weeper's Eye confirms.
"But no sect will allow a man without means or background or the right patron to study their method," Dr. Xu says bitterly. "They have so many boundaries on what can and cannot be studied. Those who seek to defy the heavens only seek to impose their own restrictions on power and who may have it."
"Oh, holy shit," Shang Cheng Hua mutters. "This is almost exactly as bad as he thought it would be."
"Lady Dawn, an unjustly impoverished noblewoman, was the only one who encouraged my forays into these new areas of study. When the House of Rejuvenation was destroyed and I was brought to Huanhua Palace sect with the others, Lady Dawn was the one who came and argued for my sake and convinced the palace master how useful I could be."
"Lady Dawn has become quite important in certain circles," Fu Qiang comments. "In recent years, she's brought a number of wealthy and powerful individuals from far and wide to visit Huanhua Palace sect."
"Research requires patrons," Dr. Xu replies, but uncertainly.
"What do the patrons get out of it?" Bing He demands. Dr. Xu's lips zip shut again. Clearly the answer is bad. But if the man isn't willing to talk, there's another here who has no problem sharing terrible news. Shen Yuan steps forward, holding the Weeper's Eye out in front of him. He inhales sharply, briefly raising his free hand to his temple, but forces himself to stand steady despite the strain. Dr. Xu shrinks away from Shen Yuan.
"Gold, which until now gold couldn't buy,"
the Weeper's Eye says.
"Some flickered and died like a candle in the wind. Some burned the thief from the inside out. But for those who survived, an opportunity for power they thought had long since passed them by, they were willing to pay anything for it."
"Golden cores,"
Shen Yuan says hoarsely. It's what they're all thinking.
"Not often," Dr. Xu says defensively. "Not to just anyone."
"But to those the palace master owed a special favor," Shang Cheng Hua suggested, disgusted. "To those who the palace master wanted to owe him a special favor? And you just went along with it so you could keep up your research? Where did the course come from?" "He might be sick. He really might be sick here." He's so glad Mo Bei Jun is holding him up.
"The dead and the dying, those sick," Dr. Xu insists desperately.
Those who had already been condemned. Those who had been left in these prisons to rot forever already. It would have been a waste to just leave them be. You found that many cultivators who just happened to be dying at the right time in the right place to make that donation? Shang Cheng Hua says disbelievingly. Dr. Xu hesitates again. And those who were willing to make a donation for the right price, he adds, but weakly. Like a man who got this far mostly by not asking too many inconvenient questions, so he doesn't like answering them now. Shang Cheng Hua thinks that the most ready supply of fresh golden cores is right above their heads right now, but he doesn't like thinking about that. He doesn't like thinking about that at all. He wants to unhave that thought right fucking now.
The strong can prey on the weak, so why not?
The Weeper's Eye asks.
Might makes right in this world. If their actions were truly despicable, then someone would have stopped them. If their actions were truly evil, then someone would have stopped them. And they were not stopped.
Was I one of them? Shen Yuan demands. Yes, Dr. Xu says. Where did I come from before that? I don't know. I don't remember. You don't remember? There have been many like you. You didn't even bother to remember? I really don't know. Shen Yuan looks intensely frustrated to have come so far to get more vague answers. He wobbles where he stands again, the glow of the Weeper's Eye throbbing in his grip, and Bing He comes forward to catch Shen Yuan's elbow and shore him up again. Shen Yuan tries to look grateful for the helping hand, but ends up wincing again instead. Shang Ching Hua can't blame him. There may be documentation of some kind somewhere, but maybe not.
Mission stage complete. The Lines That Cannot Be Crossed, Part 2, The Buried Truth. Mission objective, investigate the dungeons of Huanhua Palace.
The young protagonist looks down at Dr. Xu with no small amount of disgust. In his nephew's face right now, Shang Cheng Hua can see a willingness to do any number of horrible things done to Luo Bingha's enemies in proud immortal demon way, if he could even bring himself to touch this scum villain at all.
Daga, can we kill him?
Fan Li asks. Dr. Xu flinches away. Fan Li smiles unkindly at him.
I visited the House of Rejuvenation too, you know, she says. We went through different doors.
Not yet, Shang Cheng Hua intervenes. Not yet. Where does Su Xian fit into this? Bing He demands next.
The body had been preserved years before I arrived, Dr. Xu answers shakily. In exchange for my life and the patronage of Huanhua Palace sect, I was to use my research in golden cores and various forms of immortality to repair the body and revive the woman.
Shang Cheng Hua had guessed that much already. And?
The repair has... It was difficult. It would have been easier if I had managed to study Elder Lady Sha and her followers when the opportunity presented itself. Dr. Xu cuts his bitterness off with a frightened glance towards Shang Cheng Hua, who ruined that opportunity for him.
Fuck you, bro,
Shang Cheng Hua thinks. He doesn't say it aloud because he wants Dr. Xu to keep talking. Well, he doesn't want this scum villain to keep talking, actually. But Bing He clearly wants this scum villain to keep talking, and Dr. Xu clearly has more to say.
And the revival? Bing He presses.
Dr. Xu looks helplessly towards the room of artifacts. I've tried. Many tools have been used in an attempt to resurrect her.
countless devices and potions and talismans and more, except nothing works. It sounds like this is a frequently given defense. The soul just won't be recalled, Dr. Shu insists. Even with a golden core in the body, which we thought might finally do something, the cores just wither and the soul still doesn't answer. Maybe it doesn't want to, Bingha says coldly. Methods have been used that should have forced it to return. Even if the soul had been reincarnated, these methods should have still worked to recall it to the original body. The soul shouldn't remember anything, so should be vulnerable. But still nothing. So the soul, if it is anywhere, has either been bound or hidden by someone else, or been bound or hidden by the woman herself. Either having kept her memories of her past life through reincarnation, or life as a ghost, or having possessed a new body. There's not a single expression in this room that isn't some degree of horrified. But Dr. Shu keeps talking anyway, like he can't fucking help himself. I've become more and more convinced that the soul was destroyed, Dr. Shu says. It can't be recalled if it doesn't exist, after all. But the palace master, however, he's only become more and more convinced that the soul survived in some way, that the woman became a permanent ghost or taken over a new body through possession, or even shifted into the dream realm or some other unreachable place. But the dream demon that was contracted to look for the soul found nothing. It seems that it was found and devoured by that self-titled Prince of the Dream Realm. Since then, the palace master has wasted even more time seeking out new ways to search for the missing soul. But each one only seems to be more useless than the last. Or else, Dr. Shu glances towards the Weeper's eye, then mutters, or else has been stolen out from under his nose.
Fuck you, bro.
Shang Qinghua thinks again. Now again, the palace master thinks he's finally found the body that soul could be possessing. But to what end? Dr. Shu keeps muttering. After all this time, it doesn't seem as though this new woman will be any different to any of the others. The soul has most likely been destroyed. It's the most obvious answer.
What woman?
Shang Qinghua and his nephew demand at the same time. Dr. Shu looks at them, with uncertain fright again. Some nondescript cultivator, apparently powerful but well hidden, hiding beneath the sprawling wings of Changchong Mountain Sect, not even an official member of the sect. Shang Qinghua's entire being seems to lurch in terror. Oh no, he says. Everyone looks at him, but Shang Qinghua only has eyes for his nephew. He can see his own terror in the young protagonist's face. He knows, at once, totally certain, that Bingha has had the exact same realization. The palace master doesn't think that Jia Hui knows where Su Xian is, Shang Qinghua says, for everyone else. He thinks she is Su Xian.
Beginning next mission stage. The Lines That Cannot Be Crossed, Part 3, The One Who Got Away. Mission Objective, Find the Soul of Su Xian.